Chapter 52. The Boeing 737, marked with a bull's head logo on its fuselage, touched down at Larnaca International Airport and taxied to an area reserved for private corporate jets. The mechanics who normally worked on the planes had gone home for the night. Baltazar had planned his arrival with great care, and it was unlikely anyone would have had more than mild curiosity at the figure being carried down the steps of the plane in a stretcher. Bandages covered the person's face except for the eyes and nose. Men in white medical jackets loaded the stretcher into a waiting helicopter. Seconds later, Baltazar descended to the tarmac and got into the helicopter. The helicopter lifted into the air moments later and headed west. The aircraft landed in a small airport near the coastal city of Paphos. A waiting ambulance drove off as soon as the stretcher was loaded aboard. Baltazar and his men followed in a Mercedes sedan. The two-vehicle convoy skirted the edge of the city and turned onto a main highway. Eventually, it left the highway for an ascending mountain road. The road narrowed to two lanes as it traversed a series of switchbacks, passing through quiet mountain villages and past derelict hotels that had once been fashionable summer resorts before people started to spend more time at the seashore. The countryside grew more rugged and less populated the higher the ambulance and its companion climbed. Dark, piney woods crowded in on both sides. With the Mercedes close behind, the ambulance turned onto a dirt lane that was almost hidden by overgrowth. The vehicles lurched along the cratered road for about a half mile. The road came to an abrupt end without warning. Silhouetted against the starry sky was a squat two-story structure. Baltazar got out of the Mercedes and breathed in the cool night air. The only sound was the moaning of the wind through empty rooms of the old Crusader castle. Baltazar soaked in its ancient aura, gaining strength by his proximity to the ruin that had once housed his forebears. The government had once tried to acquire the historic structure and turn it into a tourist attraction. The plan disintegrated after supporters received death threats, which was just as well for those who knew the fearsome history of the place. The locals still whispered about the unspeakable horrors associated with the moldering ruin. Baltazar hadn't visited the castle since the last offering to Baal. He remembered the stark, defensive architecture of the building. It was built as a fortress originally. The roof was crenellated to provide shelter for defenders. The only openings in the otherwise blank facade were arrow slits for archers. But mostly, he remembered the room. He climbed a short set of stairs to the entrance. Using an antique key, he unlocked the door, which swung open with a mournful creak. The empty rooms were like refrigerators that kept out the heat of the day and preserved the cold. Baltazar called out to his men to bring the stretcher in and to place it in front of a fireplace big enough for a man to stand in. There were six mercenaries, all culled from his security company. Their major attributes had been obedience, cruelty, and the ability to keep their mouths shut. He told them to take up guard posts. As soon as he was alone, he pressed a combination of stones on the mantle. The procedure unlocked a door hidden in the back of the fireplace. He switched on an electric torch, ducked through the fireplace door, and descended a flight of stone stairs. A miasma of air more foul than dragon's breath flowed up from below. The musty, tomb-like odor carried memories of pain and terror and was heavy with an oily smell. But to Baltazar, it was as sweet as perfume. He stopped to light a wooden torch in a wall sconce and used its flames to ignite wall torches that lined a short passageway. At the end of the corridor was a perfectly round room, about 100 feet in diameter. Plaques set into the walls marked the ancestral resting place of scores of Baltazars who'd been buried in the castle before the family was forced to flee to Europe. figures of Baal in the god's various incarnations ringed the room. In the center of the chamber was a statue that resembled the one in the basement of his mansion in the United States. Like the other, it was a sitting figure whose arms were outstretched with the palms up. It was at least 4 times as large, sitting on a pedestal around 6 feet tall. Narrow stairways ran up both sides of the pedestal. The face on the smaller statue was almost benign compared to the visage of the larger one. It was more hideous than the ugliest gargoyle. Balthazar climbed the stairs. He stood on a small platform behind the statue. The ancient priests took their post here, speaking into a voice tube that they had used to instill even more fear in their hapless victims. He removed the family book from its bag and placed it on a ledge specially made to hold it. Reading the rituals from the book, he wrapped his fingers around a lever that protruded from between the shoulder blades of the seated figure. He pulled the lever down. There was a grating noise as a system of weights and pulleys came into play, and doors slid open to reveal a circular pit in the floor directly in front of the statue. He lifted the lever. The statue's arms dropped down at the elbows and snapped up almost as quickly. He descended the stairs and checked the pit with his light. It had been refilled with oil after the last time it had been used, a time when the family fortunes were on the wane and it had been necessary to make an offering to Baal. A young Eastern European woman with no family had been lured to Cyprus with the promise of a well-paying job. All was ready. He went back for Karina. The bandaged figure on the stretcher stirred. Good, Balthazar thought. He wanted Karina to see the fate that awaited her. He undid the straps that held her on the stretcher and slung her over his shoulder, fireman style. Balthazar heard a moan from Karina's lips. She was coming too. He smiled. Soon she would be in the loving arms of Baal.